my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 324 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. This is Kevin Huntsberger, and this week we are doing the interview, and it is with the co-author of the book Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich. Vinny Barry will be joining me in just a few minutes. We talk more about his fandom, as well as meeting Lance Von Erich, we know him as Lance Von Erich, but Lance Vaughn is the co-author of this book and kind of tells his life story. It's really an interesting read, and if you haven't already, you can pick it up online. You go to lancebychance.com, and again, it's a great story and a different perspective. You know, as I was a kid, and I'll explain it during the show, the World Class days were some of my favorite times, some of my favorite memories as a young wrestling fan. And when Lance came in, I enjoyed it. So be sure to stick around, tune in, and listen to that interview coming up in just a few minutes again with Vinny Barry. And I want to also remind folks that coming up on Saturday, February 13th, it is No Love Lost for Stride Pro Wrestling. They will be returning to the building in Carterville, so be sure to swing by, check it out. Now, seating is limited, so go to the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page, send a message if you are interested in getting tickets for that event. And friends, it is obviously, as I am recording this, it is pre-Royal Rumble, but by the time you're listening to this, the Royal Rumble has happened. I'm hoping my picks, Bianca Belair for the women's Rumble match and Daniel Bryan for the men's, has come to fruition. I think Chad Smart and I talked a lot about the Royal Rumble on last week's episode, and very soon we will be talking about the film Fighting With My Family for Movie Mania. And if you have any other suggestions for Movie Mania, let us know. Follow the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook group. It is brand new. Head on over there. It's a place where we can have conversations and chat more. So be sure to check it out. It is the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook group. There, of course, is the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page. And then all the other social media outlets, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, where the Wrestling Under the Influence franchise has gone over to. And there are several videos in the can over there. I believe we're up to episode 5. So check that out over at youtube.com/my123cents. And finally, if you're so inclined to make a purchase from prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents, or Collar and Elbow Brand and use the promo code MY123CENTS. Your support is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. And leaving a review on your favorite podcasting app, screenshotting it, and sending it my way, I would like to improve and get better with this podcast. It is a work in progress as we are 6 years now, just over 6 years into doing this, but I want to bring you what you want to hear week in and week out. And again, I appreciate the support. Stay tuned. Vinny Barry is coming up next right here on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast.
everyone. As promised, the guest this week is author Vinny Barry. He is the writer or the co-writer of the book Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich, and it is all about the great Lance Von Erich. And I grew up, you know, in the 80s, 70s and 80s, but really the very first thing I remember seeing wrestling-wise was Kerry Von Erich and Ric Flair in a cage. The Freebirds were involved. It was the start of a fantastic feud, and it hooked me. And Kerry Von Erich and Kevin and David, you know, when David was still alive, those three guys and their dad, Fritz, just captivated me. And that's kind of my introduction to pro wrestling. Vinny, first of all, welcome to the show. And how did you get involved in the world of professional wrestling as a fan?
Well, living in the Dallas area, I grew up in Lewisville, Texas. So it was about 30 miles from downtown Dallas. And I wasn't a wrestling fan before I moved to Texas, but it didn't take me long to jump on the train, because that was, you know, everybody was enamored by the Von Erichs, you know.
So you grew up, were you able to go to the shows there at the Sportatorium and watch them live?
I went to the Sportatorium a few times. I mostly went to the big events that they had at Reunion Arena at the time, like the Star Wars events, you know, the Thanksgiving Star Wars, the Christmas Star Wars. My very first wrestling match was what they called the International Star Wars. It was a pretty good event. I worked on Friday night. I was a busboy, and I actually got in trouble because I called in sick just to go to this event. But it was the main event was, like, they had Harley Race was wrestling Kevin Von Erich.
Oh, wow.
David Von Erich wrestled Jim Garvin. Bruiser Brody and Kerry Von Erich wrestled Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy.
Oh, wow.
But then you had, like I think the Fishman was on there from Mexico. You had Giant Baba from Japan, Jumbo Trudeau from Japan. They had, you know, like, wrestlers from Mexico, and it was just a really good show. And I was watching wrestling before that, but that was, you know, after going to my first live event, I was really hooked.
That card sounds amazing. Tell me about, because I grew up in St. Louis, so, you know, the Kiel Auditorium was very synonymous with professional wrestling, and, you know, Harley Race was not far from the St. Louis area. But one of the very first shows I went to, this would have been in the winter, the early part of 1985, Ric Flair and Kerry Von Erich was the main event. So I have very fond memories of the few, you know, WWF and the NWA would come through, and we would go occasionally. But growing up in Texas, I mean, I feel like that had, or, you know, near Dallas had to be, like, phenomenal in terms of going. Did you, you know, going to those shows, and what was that like? Because watching it on TV, you know, they really were, you know, the Von Erichs were these larger than life rock stars almost in their community.
Well, those guys lived about 10 miles from where I lived.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, on occasion, you know, you would, you know, maybe see them at the diner or the gas station, or someone would, you know, someone you knew would, hey, I saw Kerry today pumping gas, or, you know, so it was a big deal. Those guys were larger than life. They were the star of that promotion, you know, and they were just every, you know, like I've said before, all the girls wanted to be with them and all the guys wanted to be them, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, you know, Kerry Von Erich still goes down as, you know, Ric Flair is my all-time favorite, but Kerry Von Erich is my number two. And, you know, when he won the NWA championship, you know, I was a Kerry Von Erich fan as a kid. And then as I got older, you know, I gravitated toward Flair. But, you know, even, you know, Lance and Kevin and my, you know, watching all of those guys, they just, you know, and I think some people have been critical through the years of the decisions that, you know, they kind of ruled the roost. But, you know, at that time, when you're the promoter, in this case, Fritz Von Erich, who can you trust more than your flesh and blood? So I totally get, you know, the reasoning behind, you know, father promoters or father bookers wanting to put their kids or their close friends in those positions.
But they weren't the only ones that did that, Kevin. You know, Vern Gagne did it. The Grahams did it. You know, go up to Memphis and they did it. You know, Jerry Lawler was the king up there. And so, you know, it was, I guess it was just the way, and it mentions that in the book, you know, it was, that was the way wrestling was done. And what I like about the book is not only, you know, are you going to get a story about Lance, and I mean, it's multiple stories, right? You know, you get, yeah. You get Lance, you get World Class between 82 and 87, you get Portland, you know, you get some stuff overseas. You'll hear some stories that, you know, even of some people that we normally don't hear about, right? Because, but, you know, it also talks about how the wrestling business was run back then, you know, why they put the belt on certain people and why Kerry only had the belt for 3 weeks. And, you know, the idea that, you know, the NWA was talking about putting the belt on Kerry, and, you know, just the way they did things with the belt, and the, you know, the champion had to be responsible, and, you know, they had territories and they moved guys around. And so, you know, after you read the book, you know, you get a pretty good idea of, wow, I didn't realize that's how the wrestling business was, you know. But, you know, I just didn't interview Lance for this book. You know, I interviewed probably about 10 or 11 other guys in the business. And
wow.
So I mean, I got a lot of stuff.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And tell me a little bit about how the relationship between you and Lance came about, because did you meet him back in those days when he was still wrestling and was a part of World Class, or how did that relationship become a thing?
I didn't meet him. I did not meet him until 2017.
Okay.
And I met him. I have a website called wrestleville.com.
Okay.
And I had this website, and I was writing for stories about professional wrestlers and guys in the business, veterans and independent guys and whatnot. And was talking to James Beard. Do you know who he is? He's a referee. He worked in.
The name's very familiar. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's written a book. He works currently for SWE Fury.
Okay.
And he's a big part of Texas wrestling. He also was a big part. He worked a lot in Japan as well. And he told me how to get in touch with Lance. And I reached out to Lance. And I just wanted to write a story about this guy on my website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought, wow, you know, that would be good, because for me, he was like one of those guys that, you know, when I saw his name, I was like, what all happened with that? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of questions like, you know, who was he really? Okay, we know he's not a Von Erich now, but, you know, why did Fritz handle things the way that he did? Where did he go? He just kind of disappeared. And then nobody knew, you know, where he went after that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were really under the impression, you know, that he was this guy, Ricky Vaughn. And yeah. That's what I believe, you know, that there right. was a guy named Ricky Vaughn. Mm-hmm. And Fritz got a call from a promoter and said, hey, you know, we got this guy. But it didn't work out like that at all. And so when Lance told me the story about how he was discovered, that was just, there was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. And so there's so many stories that everybody perceived to be true, but the book is like, when you read the book, you thought, wow, I thought totally different, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I think is, there's a lot of surprises in the book.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm very fortunate and I'm very happy to have this opportunity to talk to you and to have a copy of the book. Again, it's called Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich. Many years ago, in fact, I just looked at it. It was about 10 years ago. I got an email or I got a message on the blogs that I don't blog like I used to, but I've been blogging for since 2010 over at my123cents.com. And I had written a blog about just based on kind of, you know, what I knew and what I remembered as a fan of Lance Von Erich and kind of, you know, I think the premise of my blogs were wrestling families that weren't really related. And I think there was a Jimmy Jack Funk story in there and, you know, some of the other, you know, guys that you think are related and they're not. And so for that blog, I had posted some pictures I found on, after doing a Google search, and Lance actually reached out to me and commented and asked where I had gotten those photos from because he had lost everything or a lot of his things in a hurricane. And I just, you know, I think he thought that I had taken those photos or whatever. And I explained to him that I hadn't. And then we kind of became, you know, became social media friends of sorts. So, and we still every once in a while will message back and forth on Facebook Messenger, but his story, you know, because like you said, he was so prominent there and I remembered him, you know, obviously wrestling in world class. And then you read a couple of reports about him after that. This was before the internet, obviously, but then it seemed like he just kind of fell off the face of the earth in terms of that wrestling presence. But he had such a great look and, you know, he looked like a Von Erich, you know, there's
right.
When I was a kid, I had no reason to believe that he was not part of the family.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, but in wrestling, you know, they told us that, Kamala was from Uganda, right? We believe that too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah. You know, but see, that's what wrestling is, right? I mean, you know, I can appreciate it. I have a friend of mine. He's an author. He does podcasts. His name's Michael McCurdy, and me and him talk often. And you know, we are just baffled that, you know, that there are some diehard Von Erich fans that just the fact that he's not a Von Erich, they don't like him. And you're just like, well, why don't you like him? I don't like him. Yeah, but why? I don't like him. Nah. I mean, you know, just because he's not a Von Erich, I said, you know, you got to understand a lot of, look, who gives Waldo a hard time?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nobody. You know, and so it is one of those things that I'll never understand. But, you know, someone came out to me the other day and kind of called me out on Facebook. They go, well, we get it because you're a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm a wrestling fan, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't call myself a Lance Von Erich fan.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate a good story here.
Sure.
And Kevin, I know you do too. This is a good story, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so that's why I wanted to share it and tell the story. It took me 3.5 years to work on the book. Probably about 3.5 years from today, you know. So it's quite the journey.
I've got to ask you, you know, because I'm looking at, you know, on the back of the book, there are quotes on there and inside there's a word from Kevin Von Erich. Now, this is not a very, you know, you mentioned those fans that were, you know, dead set against Lance just because he wasn't a quote unquote real Von Erich. The quote in here from Kevin is not very complimentary of Lance either. Did he say that, was this pulled from an old interview or did you guys reach out to him for the book?
I reached out to him and you can read it if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he says, my brothers and I had been trying to change wrestling to our style. Kids loved it, and our TV ratings went through the roof. We were really good in the ring, and we were careful with our image. Lance was David Manning, who, of course, was the famous referee and helped Fritz out a lot. But Lance was David Manning's and my dad's idea. I especially was dead set against it, as we had never lied to our fans. I know how reporters can be. I knew it would come back to us. Lance looked good, but that was it. He was like a mashed potato sandwich, no pizzazz at all. I love the Von Erichs. I love Kevin Von Erich. I agree to disagree with him. You know, I thought Lance, again, that perfect fit into that Von Erich mold. And to say that we lied to the fans, you mentioned Kamala. I mean, come on. Come on. That was a, you know, part of the territory, the missing link, you know. All Skandar Akbar's guys. I mean, those weren't the real characters.
Sure. And, you know, for that quote, so I'll give you the backstory on that. So are you familiar with Kenny Casanova?
Yes, yes. Kenny, shout out to him. He facilitated, I interviewed Kamala, Jim Harris, years ago, before he passed, obviously, when he was talking about the Kamala Speaks book. So, yeah, Kenny and I have become friends on another social media friend of mine.
Right, right. Yeah, was Jim Harris the sweetest guy or what? Oh,
God, he was so nice. I loved talking to him.
I had the opportunity to interview him, too, before he passed away, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful man. So me and Kenny are friends, and I was at the computer one night, and he instant messaged. We were talking back and forth on Messenger, and we were talking about how the book was coming along, and just out of the blue, he just asked me this question, goes, how big are your nuts? You know, and of course, like a typical guy, right? They're huge, man. And he was like, if they're huge, call this number. It belongs to Kevin Von Erich.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't know when that was. I would say that was around April of May of 2020. And I guess in September or October, I reached out to him because the book was getting ready to print. And so I called him. Three Fridays in a row, and I left three messages in a row and nothing. And then so after the third Friday, the Saturday afternoon, I text them, and I was over at my nephew's house, and he texted me back.
Oh, wow.
And we ended up texting each other for about 2 hours, and we kind of we had a civil talk, but you know, he kind of aired some of, I guess, his, griefs or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we just talked a little bit, and I said, hey, look, he knew I was working on the book. I said I was about to print the book, and I wanted him, I said, would you be interested in contributing something to the book, and it can be as long as you want it to be, and I don't care what it is. You just write whatever you want, and we'll go from there. And he told me in that conversation that he didn't feel he just didn't think it was the thing to do because of the memories of his brothers or something along those lines. He just didn't feel comfortable doing it. So a week later, here at the house, and I get this text, and he goes, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, and I've been thinking about Lance a lot. And he just said, hey, I wish you and Lance the best. And so, didn't hear anything about him. And about maybe a week later or so, this was the Friday before the Monday, it went to press, or it was getting ready. And I said, hey, I just asked him one last time, would you be willing to contribute something to the back of the book so I can put a quote from you on the back of the book? Two sentences. And he wrote that paragraph
Wow.
And it was too big to put on the back, so I stuck it in the front, and I took a sentence or two out and stuck it on the back. So that was how that came about, you know? And he also, by, you know, chatting with me and chatting with me and sharing some stories, you know, he helped with some information that was inside the book as well. So he was, you know, not a big contributor to the book, but he was a very important piece. And I'll add this, Kevin, when I went to Lance and shared that with him, he was like, don't put that in the book. And I said, you know what? We got to put it in the book, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and as you being in the news business or, you know, have worked in the news business, it was one of those things where I just felt like, you know, we have to put it in. It's not the most flattering thing in the world, but we need to put it in. And he let me put it in, but I mean, he still, even if you ask him today, he'd probably say, yeah, I didn't want it in the book.
You know, it's interesting because obviously when you write a book, there's a lot that goes into promoting the book, and you've done a lot of interviews, podcasts and YouTube shows and whatnot. I'm assuming, you know, I've seen a lot of buzz about it on my social media. I mean, this is obviously good material. Lance is someone that was, even though his time in world class was a couple of years at tops, he obviously left an impression on fans, and people want to hear these stories and are talking to you. So I'm assuming there's not been a whole lot of negative pushback from the fans' perspective, at least.
You know what? The people who've read the book love the book. Mm-hmm. I've gotten some amazing compliments on the book today. Some people are telling me it's the best wrestling book they ever read. Mm-hmm. That's humbling, man.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's some people, you know, in some of the Von Erich Facebook pages, mm-hmm. that, you know, say the book is full of lies and they haven't even read it, you know, and they won't even give it a chance. And, you know, one thing that I'm really proud of, there was a review written by The Voice of Wrestling. And the very last thing that he says, he said the one thing that he respected most about Lance in the book was that he was very honest and he didn't bury anybody.
I am just over halfway through it and I feel the same way. There's not been any, you know, I've not read anything, because a lot of times you read these books and the writer, the wrestler involved with it sounds bitter or they have an axe to grind. I really didn't get that vibe, or I have not picked up that vibe at all in reading yours and Lance's stories. And, you know, I would imagine, you know, kind of walk us through the process when you're writing with someone like this. Do you just exchange, you do phone calls, do you email each other? How do you come up with how does he recount and recall these stories to you?
Well, you got to remember it was 35 years ago, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so there was some times where I was like, you know, asking him about it and he goes, wow, I don't know. I'm going to have to get back with you on that. And then he'll come back and says, oh yeah, yeah. I remember who it was, you know, but then there was some parts he was just on and on and on and on and on. So we agreed, we started out like almost every Sunday, mm-hmm. and we'd plan for a certain time in the afternoon. It was either around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know, whatever time worked. Sometimes we moved it around or whatever, but we would talk for maybe an hour. Sometimes we would talk for a half hour or something, but I'd record all the conversations, mm-hmm. and, you know, he'd just start talking, you know, and sometimes he would, I mean, there are some stories on that are recorded that he's told me 3 or 4 times, you know. It was like, yeah, I know that story, man. But every time he would tell it, there'd be another piece of another gem in there. I was like, dude, you didn't tell me that, or you didn't say that guy was there, or, you know, and he goes, yeah, I did. I told you. Or, you know, I said, okay, we're close. We'll wrap this thing up. And he goes, well, yeah, just like that time when the train blew up. But I was like, what train blew up? You know, he goes, yeah, the train that was bombed. I said, dude, you never told me about that. So he'd have to go back and tell me that. But it did get to the point down there in the end where, and he talks about, he's talked about this on a couple interviews that he has done. He's done a few. And he says that, that I've got to the point where I was like, look, dude, we're done. No more. Don't, you know, I mean, I'll never finish this thing. And yeah. it did feel like that because he kept on coming back. Well, did you interview this guy or that guy? And I was like, no, I'm not calling anybody else, man, because I knew we had a good book. It was just the editing process was challenging. The editing process probably took me, the book was written, finished, you know, like I knew the book was done at Christmas time of last year.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't finish editing until, I don't know, like the night before it printed. We sent it to the printer and then they sent it back for some corrections. And I went back in there and I was rewriting and changing and, oh man, they had to start over by the time I got done with that, you know, because I was writing down to the very last minute. And so that's, you know, what is it? It's never done, you know?
Has he talked to you at all since the publishing of it and it's been out and there, you know, like we said, I've seen nothing but good reviews, but there are those that, like you said, that still 30 plus years later hold that grudge that he wasn't a quote unquote real Von Erich. Does that kind of stuff bother him? Does he look at the, because obviously being Lance Von Erich is what has been compelling for people to want to know this story and know the players involved with it. But does it bother him that there is that criticism out there? Even though they approached him and, you know, it's not like he came up with this idea and tried to push himself down people's throats. It was an idea that was presented to him and he was playing a character.
Well, that's his sentiment is like, hey, they hired me,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you know what? You just, there's some things you just can never explain.
Yeah. That is, very interesting. And there's, you know, also as you're going through the book and we talked about photos earlier, there's a great collection of pictures from World Class. And then, you know, of some of the stars there, like Bruiser Brody, and of course, Percy Pringle, the Simpson brothers. But there's a lot of pictures with Lance who, you know, when he wrestled overseas and in other parts of the world. And there's also, you know, the movie set in Israel. I mean, he just, to me, I bought into, and, you know, I was, you know, by this time I was probably a teenager. I bought into the whole, you know, this is Fritz's nephew and, you know, Waldo's son. And I don't know, man, I just thought that he really played that role or played that, you know, that character to the hilt.
You know what I said to him many times, if you go, to like, there might be some stuff on YouTube. I came across some stuff on, I think the WWE Network, you know, with, Kevin and Lance interacting on camera, doing interviews and stuff like that, man, they both did a very good job of making you believe that they were relatives,
mm-hmm.
But underneath the surface, those guys really had a working relationship. You know, they come, hey, do your job. I'll do my job. See you tomorrow. You know, but as far as him and Carrie, they were friends. You know, yeah. They would go to each other's houses and, you know, maybe did a little working out or something. I mean, they didn't have a ton of time up there when they were working in Dallas because he was wrestling sometimes two times a night.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as having, you know, a friendship and a relationship It was with him and Carrie as opposed to him and Kevin. But I tell him all the time, I said, dude, if you go back and you watch those tapes of you and Kevin, you would never even know that, you know, you guys weren't close.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they were bitter enemies. They just didn't, they weren't, you know, they just didn't, they just worked together, you know? Yeah.
They were coworkers.
They were coworkers. Yeah.
Did he ever mention or talk anything about, you know, I know that Carrie obviously went on to the WWF and, or WWE now, and had a run there. Kevin, I know, had a dark match or two up there, but didn't, you know, never was on TV or anything like that. You know, Lance just kind of, like we said, he wrestled overseas for a bit and then we didn't see him anymore. Did he have the desire or what was his, you know, his end plan? If did he have one or did he want to go to the WWE one day or WCW back when the Monday Night War was still going? I mean, he was certainly young enough and in good enough shape that he could have, I think, been impactful in either company, even in that era.
Well, Lance, had David Manning not met him on the golf course,
yeah,
he would have never gone into wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not on his radar. It was nothing that he ever watched.
Yeah.
Now when he was wrestling up in Portland, Don Owens knew he came from Dallas. Now, I don't know. I'm sure David Manning, Ken Mantell, or Fritz, or somebody called Don Owens, and they told him about this man, mm-hmm. right? Because he went up there and he started working. That was his first promotion.
Yeah.
And when he got up there, Don Owen called him Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah.
And when, you know, he's there or whatever, Don had told him, I guess Don did, he did, Lance doesn't believe that Don knew that Fritz was intending or thinking about putting the Von Erich name on him, but Don had an idea that since he came to Dallas, that he would probably go back to Dallas. And so he would say, hey, man, if I were you, I wouldn't go back to Dallas, because if you do, they're not going to use you because his sons are the stars there.
Yeah.
But if you stay here about 2 or 3 years, you could probably go to the WWF from here. And Lance says, hindsight, that's probably what he should have done, was bypass Dallas altogether. But, you know, had he not gone to, you know, had all this stuff not happened, he would have never gone overseas and started those businesses over there and done very well for himself. And so today he's happy with the way that it worked out, but working at World Class was not the happiest time of his life.
Yeah. I kind of picked up that vibe and, you know, I think from my perspective as a fan, you know, obviously that was because I grew up in the Midwest. And so I wasn't seeing the stuff going on you know, the Pacific Northwest and Don Owens' company. And, you know, by the time it made its rounds to the magazines, I think Lance was already a part of World Class and, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. So what is Lance, you know, does he have bitterness or resentment toward the wrestling business these days? Is he, you know, you said he's content where he is now. So I'm assuming he's, you know, come to terms or reconciled and, you know, losing a lot of these former coworkers, you know, Carrie and Mike and Fritz now are all gone and Bruiser Brody, Kamala, you know, there's, and I like the fact that you guys have the, kind of the memoriam in the book as well, kind of pointing out some of the wrestlers that we've lost through the years that Lance had come in contact with. So he didn't become a statistic and he didn't become, you know, didn't overstay his welcome, as they say, or, you know, but I do think that he had a lot more to contribute. And I, as a fan, would have liked to have seen him around a bit longer.
Well, you know, For us who lived in the States, yeah, we only saw him for about 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to because he was about a year and a half, almost a year, I guess, up in Portland, a year and a half here. But, you know, he had a career that spanned almost 10 years.
Okay.
And, you know, so he went over – when he went overseas, I think his last match was in 96. Between 93 and 96, he was a little sporadic. He was doing a lot of acting. But, you know, he it wasn't like, you know, he didn't love it. He didn't love it.
Yeah.
And because he didn't love it, you know, if you read the very beginning, he talks about being an extremist, and anything that he did, he would put 100% in.
Yep.
And he put 100% into wrestling, right? But
yeah.
He always said that the guys that were really, really good were the guys that loved it, like Juno Hernandez or, you know, Ric Flair, you know.
Yeah.
And then he also complimented the second generation wrestler, you know, the guys like Steve Simpson and the Von Erichs, you know, Kelly Kaninsky, Matt Bourne. He's always said that those guys, he says, you could blindfold those guys and they could do it, you know? And so, and he always thought that, like, the second generation guys, he goes, yeah, you knew they had to love it because they've been around it all their life and they were probably wrestling with their dads in the backyard, and that's how they became so good, you know? So, you know, it was a passion thing. It was like, you know, he wasn't resentful at it, but, you know, it was like, it was nothing he would have ever done.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we called it, you know, Lance by Chance,
yeah.
You know, because it wasn't anything that he sought out to do. It came to him. He thought, you know what the heck? They said I could make some money. I'll try to make some money. And, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, the dream kept on going, you know, and it took him, you know, I mean, he's really happy with the way that his life came out. You know, he's really happy that he didn't become a statistic, because he's even told me many times he goes, wow, you know, of all the guys, one day we were working on the book. I don't remember exactly what story, but we were talking and he goes, yeah. And I was with so-and-so who's dead. And this guy, well, he's dead. And then so-and-so was there. And he was like, wow, there's five guys in that story and they're all dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said many times, it's like, wow, you know, I could have been a statistic too. You know, that's another thing, Kevin, in the book. I think the book has many, many things, themes, but if you read the book, you do, hey, these guys take a toll on their body. A lot of these guys drink a lot. A lot of these guys do drugs a lot. And a lot of these guys died young. And, you know, it's a lifestyle. And it, you know, some might think it's glamorous and others might think, golly, how can they live like that? But, you know, it's a side of life that, you know, was, you know, it's not a tell-all book, but boy, I tell you, it's pretty, Chris Youngblood said it was one of the best looks inside of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and the way you guys kind of break down into the chat, you know, it's a very I would call it bite-sized pieces. You know, it's not, you're not going to get into a chapter and get lost in all of the verbiage. It's well written in that sense, where you're able to get a story and get, you know, and growing up as a fan and watching and remembering this stuff, it brings back a lot of awesome memories as well. So I thank you for, you know, getting with Lance to create this book and to write it. Let listeners know how they can pick up a copy of this.
Sure. You can go to lancebychance.com, and we have an unsigned book, and we have book signed by Lance. They're actually, he didn't actually sign the books, but he did because he's in another country, he signed some labels, and he signed the labels and he sent them to me. An interesting story about that. They spent 5 weeks in the Tijuana customs office, and that was not fun for my part, because I was stressing every day. I heard a truck drive by my house. I thought it was the UPS truck, and it wasn't. And that put a lot of stress on me, but we got them. And you can purchase either one of those books. If you know, a couple people have asked me if I would sign the book, I will sign the book. No extra charge. I mean, if that's what you want, I'm not going to sign it unless you ask. But I tell you, I really think that, like I said, everyone who has read the book has told me that they've enjoyed the book. Even today, I've read a lot of really nice things on Facebook about the book. We had an interview come out that Lance did about 5 weeks ago, sometime before Christmas, and he talked strictly about South Africa and everything that happened in the book. The book's kind of broken down into three parts. It kind of starts in Portland, then it goes to Dallas, and then it goes overseas. Yeah. And he talked strictly about the overseas part, which is a really interesting part that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
And so that podcast came out today, and it's getting a lot of listens. But I think people are going to be surprised about what they read in the book. And I've had three people who read the book before it was printed that did not like wrestling, but I wanted to get their honest opinion about it. And they said all three of them said they couldn't put it down. It was that enjoyable for them. Yeah. So those are non-wrestling fans.
Yeah, like I said, it is an easy read. It is a good read, and it's that nostalgia that a lot of people that listen to this podcast are into the 70s, 80s, and 90s wrestling. So again, it is Lance by Chance, Wrestling as Yvonne Erich, and lancebychance.com. Thank you so much, Vinny, for being a part of the show and sharing the book. And you know, if you have any other projects coming up or anything that you're working on, let me know. And we have the links to the book and to Vinny's website as well on the write-up for this week's podcast. Anything else you want to say before we wrap things up?
No, I just thank you very much for having me on. And I hope that you give the book a chance. And you know, I believe in my heart that you're going to enjoy it if you pick it up and read it. So thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. It is a great book. Again, pick it up at online, and we have the links on My123Cents. Vinny, thanks again for being a part of the show.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks so much for listening to this week's podcast. We'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.